Partners in Refreshing. The text is Philemon 7. By way of introduction, I've been reminded in recent days how God loves to partner with his people in doing the works he wants done. He could do it himself, but he wants us to share with him in his wonderful workings, workings that have the power to comfort and encourage and strengthen and refresh the objects of Jesus' love. Like in Luke 9:13, when the crowd of 5,000 is hungry, and Jesus says to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." Jesus multiplies the food. Jesus makes the miracle happen. But it's the disciples that have the honor of handing that miracle out to the people. Or when, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, he tells Peter, "Feed my sheep and tend my lambs." They are Jesus' sheep, and Jesus has all authority and power in heaven and earth, and surely he could feed them himself. But he partners with Peter, and he partners with each of us, for the responsibility of caring for his sheep rests on all of us disciples to one degree or another. And refreshing the hearts of the saints is part of feeding his sheep and tending his lambs. Refreshment is one of those things Jesus partners with us on. That's the introduction. Now to the text. It's from Paul's letter to Philemon, that little epistle between Titus and Hebrews. It's one of the shortest books in the Bible, but it's a meaningful verse. Philemon 7, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Well, let's consider the context of these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon. Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus, had recently been won to the faith by Paul and was proving to be a useful helper to him. Yet Paul believed it best to send Onesimus back to Philemon so as to not be selfish with the service Onesimus had been providing him. So Paul sends him back with an appeal that Philemon would forgive any misdeeds Onesimus may have done, and that he would receive him not just as a slave or servant, but as a brother in the Lord, particularly as one now very dear to Paul's heart. And as he's reflecting on the friend he's writing to, Paul is compelled to express appreciation for something that he's been getting reports about. Out of all he could say about Philemon, he singles this out, and it is a cause for great joy to Paul's heart. "You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Paul knew what it was to need refreshment, and he knew what it was to be refreshed. So when he hears that Philemon is saying and doing things that bring refreshment to others, the kind that reaches the heart, he is overjoyed. So we want to consider what this refreshment might be that Paul is talking about. We will try to answer the who, what, why, and how of refreshment. Number one, who needs refreshment? The answer is in the text, "But you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Biblically speaking, all followers of Jesus are saints, and all saints need refreshment. From time to time, we need it abundantly, but every day we need it in some measure. Oh, here's a partial list of saints who are in particular need of refreshment: the sick or injured. Next, the chronically sick or injured. If the sick or injured need refreshment, those with lingering or chronic illness or injury need it far more. And all this applies to the close family members of such people as well. At times, their burden may be even greater than the injured person's. Others in need of refreshment: those suffering financial hardship, those suffering the loss of a loved one, single people, divorced people, single parents, older people, pregnant women, anyone with young children, people prone to discouragement or depression. People with PTSD. I think everyone I know who has lived long enough has PTSD. Some, like military veterans, may have it the worst. But we all seem to have it to some degree because we've all had trauma in our lives. So we all stand in perpetual need of refreshment. Number two, the why of refreshment. Simply put, the primary basis for refreshing the hearts of the saints is this: the heart of God, Jesus. Jesus longs to and loves to refresh us because he has chosen us to be precious to him. The foundation of saints refreshing saints is the heart of God. If we only could grasp the depth of the riches of his love, the boundless compassion, tenderness, and mercy that is within his eternal heart and is particularly expressed towards the needy, the suffering, the oppressed, the downcast among his dear children. Paul caught a glimpse of that love and tried his best to put it into words when he wrote Ephesians 3:17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Paul is trying to fathom the unfathomable, to express the inexpressible. So consider Jesus, who wept openly at the tomb of Lazarus, not because he missed him, but because he was deeply moved by the sorrow of Mary and Martha and others dear to his heart. John 11:33. It says of Mary, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He is deeply moved by our sorrows, our sadness, our fears, our loss. He who instructs us to mourn with those who mourn, will he then be indifferent to our mourning? Certainly not. The heart of God is deep and full. We must understand that. That is the basis for our refreshing others. That is the fountain which we must draw from, the deep, loving, compassionate heart of Jesus. So the first part of the why of refreshing, then, is that God desires and delights to refresh. The second part of the why is that in his gracious providence, he has chosen us to be his agents of comfort, his partners in refreshment, 2 Corinthians 7:6. Paul is writing to the Corinthians about a time he needed refreshment. It says he had conflicts on the outside and fears within. Then it says, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. Here we see it's God's very nature to enjoy comforting us. So he comforted Paul. Now it says something amazing if we grasp its implications. God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. God was the primary agent, yet he used a person, Titus, as a secondary agent, God's partner in refreshing Paul. God could have supernaturally communicated his comfort. He could have sent angels to strengthen him, but he used an ordinary person like you and me. The heart of God is a fountain of refreshment. It's God doing the comforting. He carefully watches over his children. His heart goes out to them in their hardships and sorrows, even their little day-to-day struggles. Then he initiates the refreshment that comes to us from people. Jesus is using us to do what is in his heart to do. Think of that. To be granted a part in this divine activity of everlasting consequence, of refreshing the very objects of Jesus' great love. Number three, the how of refreshment. Well, here's a definition to help us. The Greek word Paul uses can mean to renew, to rejuvenate, replenish, restore, revive. There's a close relationship between refreshment and comfort, and refreshment and encouragement. Comfort refreshes. Refreshment comforts. Encouragement comforts and refreshes, etc. Each of these words has a distinct meaning, but they are all closely related. There are two ways to refresh someone: by speech or by actions. By what we say to them or what we do for them. First, let's look at actions. Among actions that have the potential for great refreshment, number one, showing up at a time of need. Just showing up is a refreshment. If you come in the right spirit, showing up is an amazing thing. Let's look again at 2 Corinthians 7:6. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. Then what's it say? By the coming of Titus. The showing up of Titus. An amazing thing happened. He just showed up at the point of Paul's need, and his showing up is such a blessing that it ends up in Scripture. And we're talking about it 2,000 years later. I'm sure he had no idea how consequential his showing up would be. Then it says, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. Now, isn't that remarkable? That comfort that so refreshed the heart of Paul began with the Corinthians. Refreshment travels. There is something very contagious about refreshment. It benefits not only the immediate recipient, but that refreshment gives birth to other refreshment. It's not stagnant. It keeps moving, flowing from one to another to another. But it doesn't happen when we don't show up at the point of human need. Here's another example of showing up. 2 Timothy 1:16. Paul is in prison because of his testimony about Jesus, and he writes to Timothy, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." Oh, how often we want to stay clear of someone suffering because we feel inadequate for the task. We can't relate. We don't know what to do. Well, not this man. Paul writes, "On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me." Then it says, "until he found me." Now notice, this man doesn't quit until he's done the job. And Paul is so grateful for this man showing up to refresh him that he gives this blessing: "May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day." We bless someone with our comfort, and they want to bless us in return. Here's another one. Paul's in chains, heading to an uncertain future in Rome. After a long voyage, violent storms, and a shipwreck, he's approaching Rome with great weariness. And what happens to his surprise? Acts 28:15. Paul's traveling companion, Luke, writes, "The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us." Then he writes, "At the sight of these men," sometimes just the sight of another saint does wonderful things. "At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged." Showing up, that amazing ministry, showing up with a heart filled with the love of Christ. There are not words to express the blessing of it or how much God is pleased by it. After all, didn't Jesus himself say in Matthew 10:42, "If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." So even little things we do for one another for Jesus' sake are not little things at all. They are big things to Jesus. And showing up and being a compassionate listener is sometimes all the comfort someone needs. Not a proud, judgmental listener. That's what Job got. His friends showed up and said, "All this trouble has come upon you because you sinned." Not only did they not get it right, they got it exactly wrong. Judgmental listeners. With friends like those, who needs enemies? But humble, compassionate listeners, we could all use more of those. And what can we do besides listening? Well, there was a time David was lonely, scared, discouraged, and his friend Jonathan showed up, and it says he helped David find strength in God. 1 Samuel 23:16. There is no better use of our showing up than to help one another find strength in God. But any act of kindness or thoughtfulness is refreshing. Perhaps to take a moment to pray for them. And showing up doesn't always have to be in person. Now in this age of communication, we have all sorts of ways to communicate. Writing, calling, emailing, texting, posting, tweeting. And if we think of someone who might need a call, the only way we know for sure is by calling. And we can always leave a message. When it comes to refreshing the weary, better too much than too little. Number two, words. There are times our words provide all the refreshment needed. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. And this is how it often works. When we have troubles and receive God's refreshment in our troubles, we know what's helpful to others. 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with a comfort we ourselves have received from God. We go through dark valleys. God comforts us through the scriptures. We meet others who are going through their own dark valley, and we know just what word is helpful to them. Isaiah 50, verse 4, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. The word that sustains the weary. When we are suffering, our pain and anguish seems extreme and unnecessary. We don't see the point of it, especially if it's a long suffering. We're tempted to think God has abandoned us. We ask why, but there's no apparent answer. But we go to the scriptures for comfort, and we find that word we need. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to it. The Good Shepherd comes to us in a verse that we come across in our daily reading, or maybe in a hymn or some devotional, and we are encouraged. Then a time comes, someone is suffering like we were, someone we care about, and we have that word that sustains the weary. We have it. We know just where it is, and we become a dispenser of God's grace, a partner in refreshing. We become a vehicle whereby Jesus personally reaches out and touches someone. As Spurgeon says, in dark times, God makes us lamps by which to remove the gloom. Suddenly we understand a bit of how worthwhile our suffering was. Jesus poured refreshment into us, and we pour it into others. And since we know that Jesus partners with his saints to refresh other saints, should we not consider asking him daily who he wants us to be partners with in refreshing? Just as Jesus said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. So too, we can ask for eyes to see who the Father and Son and Holy Spirit want to refresh this day, and we can say, Lord, send us. Finally, the what of refreshment. As in, what are the results? Well, there are too many results to list. I will just conclude by mentioning two. Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. We take care of those close to Jesus' heart, and he will take care of us. Finally, it endears people's hearts to Jesus, the author of the refreshment to begin with. It is his personal, loving gift to us, given with a heart full of tenderness and compassion and delight towards us. His love puts the refreshment in the refreshment. And who can say what good is done in someone's life when their heart is moved to love Jesus more.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, oh, life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.